You're listening to Crown Point Bulldogs High School Football on Internet Radio, USA-365.com.
And welcome back to Valparaiso High School and our Crown Point Bulldogs halftime show. Dave Woodworth here along with Frank Sprankle. Let's first of all recap our first half of scoring. And indeed, at halftime, Valparaiso holds a 14-7 lead over the Crown Point Bulldogs. And Valparaiso actually scored all 14 of the points in the first quarter. The first touchdown came on their first possession, starting from their own 41-yard line. They advanced 59 yards in four plays. Just a minute and 23 seconds in time of possession. It was capped off on a pass by Lefeu to Jamison Bisacki, and that covered 34 yards for a touchdown. The point after kick by Lucas White was good, and Valpo led it 7-0 with just 9:38 remaining in the first quarter. Crown Point went 4 and out. Or 3 and out. They punted on fourth down. Then Valpo taking over at their own 45-yard line. Two plays in the second play. Again, a nice pass from Lefeu to Jamison Bisacki, this time for 51 yards. That put the Vikings up 14-0 after the point after touchdown kick. That with 6:50 remaining in the first quarter. And the first quarter ended 14-0. As Crown Point and Valpo exchange possessions and punts. However, late in the first quarter, Crown Point started a long drive from their own 5-yard line with 2:06 remaining in the first quarter. That drive was sustained, and they went the length of the field, thanks in part to back-to-back penalties on the same play, a 10-yard holding play and a 15-yard personal foul that helped move the ball into Valparaiso territory. So a 16-play drive altogether for 95 yards, 5 minutes and 46 seconds time possession, and it was number 30, Griffin Gilbert, punching it in from 2 yards out for the touchdown. Ben Frederick's point after touchdown kick is good. That made the score 14-7 with 8:20 to go in the second quarter. Now, Crown Point held Valpo in the very next possession to 3 and out, and they put together another nice drive starting their own 40, advanced down to the 20-yard line, but a pass by Grayson Link was apparently tipped near the line of scrimmage and intercepted by Bobby Lee. And so Valpo took over at their own 21-yard line. They proceeded to move from their own 21 down to the Crown Point 40-yard line, and they failed to convert on 4th and 9 at that point, turning the ball over to Crown Point. However, at that point, there was only 36 seconds remaining in the half, and Crown Point opted to simply run the clock out at that time. So Valpo leads it at halftime, 14-7. But actually, that high-powered offense of Valpo, yes, they did demonstrate the ability to score quickly there in the first quarter with a couple of touchdowns and a couple of long passes. In fact, a number of long passes were completed to Jamison Bisacki. I have him with 6 receptions for 132 yards. So he is by far and away the leading pass receiver for Valparaiso. They also completed 1 for 7 yards to Zach Jones and 1 for 9 yards to Griffin Jelensky. And that is their entire passing game right there. Unofficially, I have Jake Lefeu completing 9 out of 13, unofficially 462 yards, so he's had a pretty good first half of play. Running the ball, not as much because they were throwing the ball so well. Greg Lichtenberger with 4 carries, 14 yards. Zach Jones, 2 carries for 16 yards. And Jamie Lethridge, 1 carry for 5 yards. So those are the stats for Valparaiso. Let's take a look at the stats for Crown Point. Grayson Link, have him unofficially 5 of 8 for 56 yards. Grayson Link also with 8 carries for 66 yards, and Griffin Gilbert with 11 carries for 37 yards. And a few other people had ball carries as well. Zach Stewart, 3 carries for 7, and Shane McCormick, a couple of carries for 3 yards. And one touchdown, of course, by Griffin Gilbert, that from 2 yards out. Mark Knox had a pass reception for 4 yards. Tyler Jones, a couple of pass receptions totaling 20. Leo Radiseski a couple of pass receptions totaling 31 yards. So there you have some of the key statistics of the first half. Also one incomplete pass attempted by number 29, Zach Stewart. And that was a nice option fake play where they faked the direct snap to number 29, Zach Stewart, from that direct snap formation, the full house backfield. He actually dropped back and threw a long pass and just out of reach or dropped there on the pass play. So good idea, but it didn't execute. All right, let's open up the microphone here for Frank Sprankle, who's been checking some of the scores around the area.
Yeah, Dave, and we have all of the DAC games in progress. Three are a half outside of this one. One in progress in the second quarter. Let's take a look at upper action in the DAC. The Maryville Pirates and the LaPorte Slicers in LaPorte, they find themselves in a shootout tonight. 28-all tie at the half. Also at half, the Chesterton Trojans, not a shootout, leading 6-0 over the Portage Indians. That's also at the half. One game that is late in the second quarter, and this is a shootout, but the Lake Central Indians traveling to Michigan City tonight, leading the Wolves 35-21. That game late in the second quarter. Let's take a look at scores in the Northwest Crossroads Conference and the Hobart Brickies at the Inferno tonight. Hobart leading Lowell 7-6. That game at the half. Also at the half in the Northwest Crossroads Conference, Griffith, a 10-7 lead over Munster. And Highland on the road, trailing Andrean. Andrean with a 28-14 lead at the half. Out of the Greater South Shore Conference, and I checked the number of sources to look, the number of websites to see that, to look this one up. But the Hanover Central Wildcats are leading the Whiting Oilers 21-0 at the half. So once again, out of the Greater South Shore Conference, Hanover Central leading Whiting 21-0 at the half. We'll keep you updated on that game as it goes on through tonight. Also of the Greater South Shore Conference at the half, Bishop Knoll trailing River Force. River Force at home, a 28-7 lead, 28-7 lead over Bishop Knoll. And South Central of Union Mills at Wheeler tonight, 2-0 South Central over of Union Mills over Wheeler. That game at the half. Actually, that game seems to be more in the sixth inning. Only a safety accounting for in that game. A South Central leading 2-0 over Wheeler at the half. Those are all the scores that we have. We'll do the best we can to get you scores throughout the night. And certainly a full recap of all of the scores throughout Northwest Indiana, or at least most of them, on a postgame show following the Crown Point Bulldogs and the Valparaiso Vikings here tonight.
All right, got a correction on the passing stats for Grayson Link. Looks like he was 6 of 11 passing, and with one interception there in the second quarter for a total of 60 yards. Missed one pass reception and a couple of incompletes there. So there you have some stats from the first half. All right, we have a special halftime feature for you. It's the Commissioner's Corner. IHSAA Commissioner Bobby Cox with an interview here for our halftime feature here on USA-365.com.
It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, an exclusive weekly update from the IHSAA Commissioner himself, Bobby Cox. Now for the inside scoop on what's happening day-to-day with the IHSAA. Here's Coach Bob Lovell with Commissioner Bobby Cox.
Bobby Cox joins us, a regular visit, to talk about the IHSAA. Bobby, kind of an interesting week for you. You're hosting a regional meeting with your fellow commissioners around the Midwest and the National Federation of High Schools regional type meetings. And I don't think people realize how important these kinds of meetings are, sharing experiences, best practices, and talking about some of the issues that you and other commissioners around the Midwest share relative to high school sports.
We are, Bob, and we are honored to host the NFHS Section 4 meeting today here at the IHSA. We'll have a full day today and a full day tomorrow. And we do discuss topics that are germane to every state association. We have a 2 days of agenda talking about things such as the new pitch count rule that's been passed by the National Federation Baseball Rules Committee and how each state's going to be able to implement that. We're talking about football and continued work with concussions and heat and hydration. We're talking about other health types of issues. Just a variety of topics that we all need to cover as we go back to our state associations and administer the work for those student athletes that participate in each of these five states.
Yeah, we've talked about the pitch count issue. It strikes me as one of the overriding issues that you have is this convergence of high school sports, education-based sports, and what young men and young women do relative to travel sports in the summer, and how there's got to be a blend, there's got to be an understanding of the strain that it puts on young bodies and young minds to literally be playing year-round sports.
And that's another thing that we'll be talking about, Bob, is that one of my duties for the Federation is I'm the chair of the National Federation Foundation. And one of the grants that we have provided is to Dr. Tim McGine from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he is studying sports specialization. And we'll be discussing those kinds of topics today with respect to how the study is going, the repetitive nature of sports specialization, and is there truly data that supports the anecdotal beliefs that we all have that specialization can be harmful. So we're going to discuss that today. We're going to discuss national events, the various competition seasons, concussion insurance, how student advisory committees work around the country, just a variety of topics that will take up our 2 days, and we hope to come away with more than we came in with.
I'm always struck with the fact that that you talk about a lot of issues, yet every year there's no shortage of new agenda items that are very important. I mean, as long as people have been involved in sports, there always seem to be problems that crop up of a nature, you know, an administrative nature, a physical nature, and all kinds of things. And again, no shortage of things to talk about.
Right, and there's no shortage of challenges, Bob, and that's why we have these section meetings in the fall. We will come together in a winter meeting to review all these topics that are discussed in each section, and then there'll be curriculum and programming developed for the large summer meeting that will come up next summer in Rhode Island.
Bobby Cox joining us, talking about high school sports around the state of Indiana. Unbelievably, it is week number 6 of high school football. And similarly, unbelievably, Paul Kindry and I will be hosting the radio portion of the pairing show on Sunday, October the 2nd. Tell me this is not possible.
Well, it is possible. And as we've talked on our gatherings over the weeks here, you blink and it's already here. I look forward to the pairing show and visiting with you and Paul and also when we get ready to do our streaming for our pairing show. And it's an exciting time for high school football teams. The pairings are coming out, and, you know, you got an idea who you might play, but you don't know yet. And so you've been trying to prepare all year, and we're getting to that point in time now where you really got to start focusing on that first game. And every football coach is going to tell you, and it sounds so cliche, but you got to play them one at a time. You got to figure out who your first opponent is, and you got to prepare and try to win that game. And if you're fortunate enough, then you get another week to prepare to get to the next one, and that's the way the tournaments work in every one of our sports.
He's the commissioner of the IHSA, Bobby Cox. And, Bobby, as always, it's great to talk to you. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Bill Satterly.
And I'm Kent Lundquist. Together we host 2 hours of some of the best mainstream jazz each Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on 89.1 FM, The Lakeshore.
We're the hosts of The Feeling of Jazz and are a proud sponsor of Crown Point High School football on Internet Radio, IndianaSports.com.
We've got an eSports connection with Dade Woodward, who engineers our weekly jazz show.
So we invite football fans to join us each Sunday night at 8 for The Feeling of Jazz on 89.1 FM, The Lakeshore, and online at lakeshorepublicmedia.org.
Step back in time to see the spot where Rudolph Valentino, Joe DiMaggio, and Red Grange obtained their marriage licenses. The Lake County Museum features over 10,000 artifacts within a space of 6,000 square feet. Stop by and see it for yourself. The Lake County Museum is located on the second floor of the old courthouse building in downtown Crown Point, open Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m. through October 29th. Donations are $1 per adult and 50 cents per child. And remember to like them on Facebook.
legal issues can come in many different situations in today's world. Are you considering buying or selling real estate? Are you and your family experiencing financial difficulties? You have questions about how to implement the right plan for the transfer of your property after death? If so, you should consider consulting with an attorney. Attorney Adam Decker has provided legal advice for more than 20 years to the residents of Northwestern Indiana on these and other matters. Call him to discuss your specific legal issue at 219-663-7400 or visit adamdeckerlaw.com to find out more about Adam Decker and his areas of practice.
The high school football season is already underway, and we invite you to follow all the coverage from sports writer Mark Smith and the team at www.usa-365.com. Your internet home for Crown Point High School and Northwest Indiana sports coverage. You can also check for the latest audio archives and podcasts at www.usa-365.com. We're a service of Meyer Multimedia Services of Crown Point, Indiana.
As the mayor of Crown Point, David Uran always has the needs of the citizens and the future of the cities his guiding principles. He believes government must be about working with others through leadership and vision to accomplish goals. Building a stronger community from within is the city's mission to ensure we protect our heritage, hometown values, and provide the vision to continue to move our community forward. Crown Point Mayor David Uran is a proud sponsor of Crown Point Bulldogs football on USA-365.com.
You're listening to Crown Point High School Bulldogs Halftime Show on USA-365.com.
And we are back live here at Valparaiso High School. Dave Woodworth along with Frank Sprinkle, as we have just a couple minutes left in our halftime. And we just heard the closing notes of the Valparaiso Marching Band performing for a nice home crowd here tonight. Maybe a couple thousand local fans here for Valparaiso, and a good, I'd say maybe 500 fans made it over from Crown Point on the visitor side of the stands. And just a beautiful night for a football game. Temperatures right now probably in the upper 60s by now because the sun has dropped below the horizon, of course. Stadium lights obviously have been in full effect pretty much the entire game already. As sunset came at about 6:43 p.m. earlier this evening. Now, Frank, I'm pretty impressed that Crown Point has hung in there. 14-7 at halftime is our score. Valpo's hit struck early and quickly on those two long pass plays from the Jake Lefeu, the quarterback, to Jameson Bisacki for 34 yards and for 51 yards. And then Crown Point put together that long drive for 95 yards, aided in part by the 25-yard cumulative penalty situation there that moved them across midfield and put them into kind of scoring territory, punching it in finally from 2 yards out by Griff Gilbert. And really, they showed that they were back in the game. And I don't think that they, I think Crown Point has done well in compensating for the loss of Tyler Gomez, who was injured last week along with Scott Mills. The improvised offense that Crown Point has put together with Griff Gilbert at the tailback position. We saw cornerback Zach Stewart in there on a number of plays, just kind of mix things up a little bit. We saw Grayson Link running the ball more than we have seen him do so in the past. He's already got 66 yards rushing for the Bulldogs, even though he's got a couple of sacks built into those totals. So not too bad. Now, the Bulldogs did lose a player, one of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, Alex Rostovsky, who is number 79, the 6'1", 250-pound senior right tackle. His backup is listed as Frank Keller. That, of course, came in the second quarter right before. It was on the touchdown drive, as a matter of fact, and we're certainly hopeful that he is all right. He had to be carted off. He was carted off toward the north end zone, or probably to the south
the
end
south,
zone.
Yeah, off to the south.
I'm so used to being at Bulldog Turf here, but we are on the east end.
We're looking west. So, yeah, south is to our left, north is to our right. And, yeah, you have to remember that, because usually we're at stadiums and press boxes where we face
the east end.
But yeah, here at Valpo it's laid out just a little bit differently, and but that's fine. It works out well here. They have a nice stadium here at Valparaiso High School, and so yeah, that's gonna hurt. He was obviously a starting offensive lineman, Rostowski there, number 79. Looked like he had some kind of leg injury. He was not able to walk off. He had to be carted off. who knows what that's going to take to get that back in motion.
He was sitting up on his rear end, so that is a good
thing. He
was sitting, which is a good thing compared to it could be worse, but he was sitting.
He was not on his back.
He was not on his back, that's exactly. But the Bulldogs have had, of course, some problems with injuries. Of course, we talked about last week with Gomez and Mills at the running backs.
Now, we know that Gomez is suited up, right? He could probably come in, but I kind of doubt he's going
to
play.
Well, maybe trying to get him rest up. Of course, there is a game next week on the road.
Now, how about Mills? Do you see him suited up, number 22?
I did not see him.
I did not see him.
Not listed on the depth chart either. It was Gomez that was suited up. But Gomez, of course, has been the principal tailback. And, of course, when you think of Gomez, you think of speed. And that's what impresses me the most about Grayson Link. And Grayson Link definitely kept a couple of those drives alive. Very efficient with the offense. Not to mention, too, Dave, what's also been impressive are those direct snaps that we have seen. Almost like a wildcat in which you don't have the quarterback, but you have a running back typically taking the carry. And we saw that with Rick over in the two-yard touchdown. You mentioned Zach Stewart, who we saw last year in the offensive equation. And Crown Point normally has been a speed-oriented team. That's what we've seen from the Bulldogs the last few years, speed-oriented. And, of course, that's what they have been looking for with Grayson Link more than Griff Gophers.
Yeah, Grayson Link is a little deceptive at 6'4". You wouldn't think he'd be all that fast. But, actually, you get those long legs moving. He does move down the field pretty quickly, which helps account for his 66 yards rushing, including one long run for 38 yards that took place, and a couple other decent runs of 13 and 10 yards, respectively, each of which amounted to first downs for the Bulldogs. So there you have a little bit of an idea of what Crown Point did in that first half.